Jammers.
Wait, what's the ship?
Jammers,
the Selfish Health Podcast.
Jammers.
Holy shit, I'm Wendy Starling.
Hello.
I'm Megan Rice.
And.
Hey.
Stephen Penta. And
real stoked to be here.
Should we try to actually bring in guests and help people?
Ooh.
I mean, like, it's Selfish Health.
Jammers.
We made up a term. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, as long as you're not spending, you know, too much money on your moving, you know, guys. It sounds like you're just
Is the moving,
right?
Guys. I'm so impressed. Yeah,
that's
like
a good point on investing. Save that money.
Yeah, see, finances. Yeah. Wendy's crushing the finances,
you know what?
By being too poor to pay movers.
I know. And so what I did is I spent like $250 in Ubers today because I have to get the XLs to fit all my shit.
She's moving in Uber.
But I didn't pay for that. And I've only had to spend $7 on the movers. That's myself. I bought a bag of cashews and a thing of water and a Red Bull at the bodega. And I got hit on 3 times in one store.
It's those sweet Nikes. That's what
it's the Nikes. And I got out of the car and I'm like, oh God, I look gross. And I got hit on by 3 dudes working in the bodega. And I was like, fuck yeah, Brooklyn. It's like, hell yeah.
Gonna do real well here.
There is something. It's like the grosser a woman. It's like the more you look like you're working and don't have time for shit.
Well, I look like I might be working, but I look like I've got plenty of time for a lot of shit. Namely looking at my clothes before I put them on. You're those lavender stretch pants? Yes, and my dead father's dress socks.
Speaking of dead fathers. Oh.
God bless. No.
Oh yeah, we have a guest in LA. We have a guest with
an
me.
LA guest, a West Coast guest.
We have an
guest.
LA guest. Guys, wow. I'm very excited to not be alone. I'm not in my tiny closet.
I know.
I'm in the living room. I'm feeling very fancy.
Yeah. No, you look so professionally set up.
Oh, we are not. There's still a cup of pens involved. Paco asked. Oh, yeah. This is Paco McCauley. He's a genius.
Yay.
No, not. Nice to meet you guys.
He's seen more money than we ever have. So he's...
Oh, stop it.
He's doing better than us.
So, I love it. He's so serious already.
At one point, he did better than us.
Right.
Yeah, so, no, I've blown, he's a comic, I've blown so. Plenty. Yeah. No, yeah. I've made career decisions that make your grandparents
so, so this is going to be a what not to do. He's going to do as I say, not as I do.
I can do both sides of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do stand-up comedy.
If you want to know how to make it, I can tell you how to do that. And
that's just to you and me, Megan. That's just you and I need to stop.
Everyone else totally should follow their dreams, specifically... Wendy and Megan,
don't follow your dreams.
Yeah, stop following your dreams immediately.
And if you could also stop leaving the house, that would be helpful for everybody. You could just stay indoors.
Oh my
so
God!
So Paco, for those of us that don't know, what's your backstory? You worked in finance and then comedy.
Literally the day after I graduated college, I started on Wall Street, and I worked for my first job was for a Mexican investment bank in New York City. And I was responsible. I speak Spanish fluently, and I was responsible for trading Mexican stocks for big institutions like Fidelity and Soros and those types of people who wanted to get into the Mexican market. And that was also right around the time of NAFTA. So that's how old I am. So that's what that started there. And then I moved to a larger bank called HSBC. You may have heard of them.
We've heard of that.
Familiar.
Wendy's like NAFTA, never heard of it. HBC, sure, I don't know.
Yeah, Mexican market, I'm very familiar with that. Did I tell you I live in Bushwick now? I was fingered in the Mexican market on the way here.
She's like bodega. He means he was trading in bodegas.
I was trading in the candles you light in memoriams.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was trading in those weird cheap tall candles. Specifically.
Anyway, so that's my background.
Did you go to school or did you just you make it out like you just stumbled onto Wall Street?
I did. I went to college. Yeah. I graduated with, you know, an economics degree and European studies. So between those two, I was,
you know,
destined.
Classic pre-Wall Street.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just say where I used more of the economics than I did the European studies.
Was that always, was that always your goal when you were growing up? Was you're like, I'm going to work in money?
No. Oh, wait. We have another guest.
Yeah. And Preston just walked in.
Preston. Yes. This is going to be a...
This is going to be a hell of an app.
Megan and I are delirious.
Like,
Yeah. I just, in case you couldn't tell if you're listening, Megan and I are delirious and out of our mind. Paco, hit it. Your goal with money. Sorry.
No, man. My goal was to earn enough to pay rent. Right. And I think that is a good goal.
I think it's a great goal. I think that's a very realistic goal for many people.
And so that seemed to be, with my background, seemed to be the best path for me at the time. I should have been doing stand up since then, but that was, you know, 20 years ago, right? I didn't really have that on the brain then.
Wendy just has one hair that's bugging the shit out of me. It looks like a hook coming out the top of your head.
Sorry. We're real. Wait a minute. Did you just say you wish you would have started doing stand-up earlier instead of making money?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really happy, you know, obviously on Wall Street, I'm not in it anymore and haven't been for, you know, 20, you know, 10, 15 years.
And comedy makes you happy.
Well, I like doing it.
I've never heard this before. I'm confused.
Do you not like doing comedy?
Sure.
Okay.
I do. I love it. But I got to tell you, Megan and I were having this conversation the other day on the phone. And it's like pursuing your dreams. And this is great. And she's starting her business and like the baking stuff and she can sell. And we're like, really, we're like, oh, we've been scraping through life and just barely getting by. And isn't this fun? And we're artists and we're pursuing our dreams. But I mean, at some point we're like, fuck this.
You know what it is?
I just want money and a couch and a TV.
I think that's what comedy.
I was like, wouldn't it be nice to just go to Sizzler every Friday night with the girls from the office?
I've got a day job, right? I mean, I understand the economics of the comedy business. Believe me. You know, like I didn't just throw it in and say, this is what we're doing. Like I earn, you know, on a monthly basis and pay rent and stuff. But, you know, writing jokes versus staring at three or four screens and screaming at people, you know, that's I enjoy that more.
Wait, go back. You said there, the economics of comedy. So do you know someone that makes money doing comedy? What is that?
I do.
Hold on.
Wait a second. He read it in a book. He saw an article on BuzzFeed that one guy one time made money doing comedy.
Yes, exactly.
And that man was Kevin Hart, and he's our sixth guest. Here comes, he grabs an R jar.
From what I understand, it can be done, right? But if that's if you're getting into it, like I got into Wall Street because I knew I could make money. I did not get into comedy because of that.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody got into comedy because they're like, here's a great get rich quick scheme.
There is zero
stand up comedy.
There's zero fast tracking in comedy.
Yeah.
Right. In trading and what I was doing, you could fail upwards on an annual basis. Right. Like if you didn't fuck up and made, you know, more than the other guys on the desk, you could get promoted. Hmm. Right. So that's
fascinating.
Yes.
Failing upwards.
Yes. Yeah.
What a state.
The ultimate example of that is George W. Bush failing upwards. Right. He lost a lot of money along the way in a couple different business like oil and professional sports, where you really can't lose money. But he managed to do that and, you know, ended up president.
I mean, that seems to be the way we've been voting lately. It's like, how many companies have you bankrupt? You're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Go.
Wendy, that's what we need to bankrupt more.
Back to the investing stuff. So my background is in arguably what they refer to as institutional investing, meaning I was trading for the Fidelities and that kind of stuff, as opposed to giving advice to people about retirement savings and that kind of thing. So there's a distinction.
God damn it. We thought we had a guest. He's like, so what I did was work for companies. What I do not do is give advice to individual people like you guys.
However, let me finish.
He's like, you don't have enough billions of dollars.
Great. I got $150, Paco. Go.
But I know enough about that world. It's basically the same thinking behind it. So it's easily translatable. But I'm not what they call a registered investment advisor. So anybody taking advice on this can't sue me after I say that.
Oh, don't worry, Paco. Anyone taking advice should not be taking
take real advice from Jammers.
Right. No, ever.
So you guys get more fake experts on here than anything.
No, we get real experts, but they just have terrible.
But people still should not take the advice.
Right.
Filter's questionable.
Right.
I think any advice that's given in general should always be, you know,
take it with the girls.
Except for the advice we gave at the top of this episode, which is that Megan and I should not leave the house and quit comedy.
That 100%.
That we're going to take that.
We should specifically, just the two of us. Everyone else, follow your dreams. Me and Wendy, give up.
So, Paco,
never leave the house again. Eat sandwiches.
Yeah.
So now that you're pursuing comedy, do you still invest? Do you still balance that out, or is it just kind of one or the other? I mean, where are you at now?
Well, like I said, I work right now.
Box.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have a regular day job, which is I work out of my house, but I do software. I do recruiting for software companies.
Okay.
So, you know, I earn that way. And then, yeah, savings, like I don't trade money, right? You've heard of day traders.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've all known one. It'd be interesting to hear if nope. anybody's ever no. known a day trader that is still in the business. It's rare.
Why is that?
'Cause it's really hard to make money like that. You know, if you, like, let me think about it. Let's just back up. If you're thinking about savings, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, so say you have $1,000 to invest.
Okay. What a dream.
You I know. Can, I'm like, oh God.
You know, exactly. You know, you can think, you know, exactly what I
hold on. I'm still imagining $1,000 to invest. Hold on. I'm still trying to imagine, but I have $1,000 that I don't need. Okay, go proceed.
You good? All right. Yeah. You can think you know what's going to happen in a stock, but you don't know. CNBC doesn't know. You know, all the talking heads, the pundits don't know. So it's kind of hard to, you know, do that successfully over a period of time such that you make a monthly, you know, savings out of it, right? I mean,
when you were doing that, did you have any kind of theory behind it? Because you hear people talk all sorts of shit.
Yeah, I mean, investing's a lot like, you know, a diet, right? Like, if you want to lose weight,
I'm out.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna fuck this up.
Yep. No, but you just need to pick a methodology and stick with it, right? If you're doing three different diets at the same time, it's probably not going to work out very well, right?
When he's like, "No, I think it'll work out fine."
No, yeah. I did that.
What
once.
If I just don't eat ever again?
Right.
I'm sure. Yeah. What three diets were you on at once?
I was doing the parasite cleanse, and then I was also vegan.
That was my favorite.
Wait, you were doing the parasite cleanse?
I was doing a parasite cleanse, which is where you cut out.
That sounds like a dance.
She looked like a cancer patient.
Yeah.
It does.
I looked really hot. I cut out all sugar and starch.
You did not look hot. No, this is
a,
no,
there's a picture. There's a picture on Jammers. I'll repost it to the Jammers account from the
and
Jammers
And you do
account.
Not look hot. You
was not hot.
Ill.
You looked
I had
good.
A shaved head and I looked super fuck. I looked like a
yeah,
like
you looked
an
like
aunt.
A cancer patient.
Yeah.
You looked like you were sick.
Yeah, so, you know, super hot. A terminally ill person.
So you're on
super
parasite
hot.
Diet. What else?
So I was on the parasite diet. I was also vegan at the time. And then I was also doing, and it's not really diet. I guess it's kind of, it counts as nutrition. I was also doing no stimulants. So like no caffeine. I was off all that kind of stuff.
I was going to go the opposite. I was no going to say, and I was also doing, yeah, I was also on the cocaine diet.
Do you know what's fucking crazy is that's the thinnest I ever was. I had never done cocaine at that point. I was that thin and
that's
I'd never done
crazy.
Drugs.
You weren't eating.
I know. Anyway, so I was on that. So I was taking I was taking calming herbs for my to try to balance out the bipolar and then not eating. Two different food groups.
To balance out the bipolar.
So. Right.
Would you say that most people don't do that though?
Yes, Paco, I'll agree. I just am trying to negate this.
Yes. Can we stipulate that most people that are trying to diet stick to one diet at a time?
Sure.
Yes, Dad.
Oh. I like Paco.
We got a couple of dads on the
I know.
Podcast
okay, Wendy,
today.
But can we stipulate?
Paco seems like a very responsible young
Listen,
man.
Wendy and Megan, I get you guys are trying to do jokes on your little joke podcast, but I have some real advice. Can we agree?
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Like one of them is going to say that at some point.
I was disappointed before we started the podcast.
And now you're mad. Yeah. You're mad and...
No, I'm just saying my expectations were super low and you guys were, you know, reaching them immediately.
We're immediately reaching them very low. Yeah. So we got another fan.
The low bar. No,
yeah,
guys.
The lowest of bars.
We're the limbo of podcasts. We just,
yeah, we just get lower and
lower
yeah.
every time.
I think that's why us. I love you guys.
Yeah, that's how we sell the
perfect,
podcast.
It's a perfect spot for me. Listen, if I really, really, you know, if anybody really, really knew what they were doing in investing, it's what they would do. They wouldn't work again, right?
It's true.
You know, if anybody has a crystal ball, then, you know, go for it, right? But outside of that, you have to play it. It's an odds game. Like, you know, the same, it is a form of gambling. You're making a bet on a price direction.
Ooh, that means I could get addicted to it. I love it.
Well, yeah. But honestly, that's why I always kind of, I mean, I'm weird with investing because I, you know me, like I play it safe with anything. So like, why am I gonna, I don't know, if I have $1,000.
That's the only way to do it if you're trying to make money over time,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah. So your like, advice would be don't be a bitch, Stephen. I have $1,000 I can invest it or I could get 3 dinners delivered to me.
That's everyone's advice to Stephen, by the way, no matter what we're talking about, is Stephen, don't be a bitch.
And I mean that in a pejorative way. And I mean that in a negative way about women. We have pussies, right. We can say that.
So Paga, when you were investing, what was your methodology of choice? What was your investment diet?
Well, for personal investing, for my own self, here's what you do. You ready? You guys ready to make $1,000,000?
Please.
We're all going to be billionaires.
Get out your notebooks.
Fuck your million. Let's make it a billion.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a company called Vanguard. Have you heard of them?
Yep. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. They are. Yeah, have you, Wendy? Have you really?
Yes. Yes. I used to work for.
Have you, Wendy?
This is good.
Wendy, now I feel like you're lying. You know, when the audience members, I feel like you're agreeing with the premise just to agree, and that's heckling. It's positive, but it's heckling.
Right.
I do know what that is because I remember when I had 401ks at jobs.
There you go. That's
Vanguard.
Exactly what
Thank
I'm
you.
When I had jobs.
Yes. So the way that they, here's what they're cheap, meaning it doesn't cost a lot of money to do business with them. People like Fidelity and the bigger mutual funds, they charge you more on the way in.
Those motherfuckers.
Right?
Yeah.
So think about it like a ticket price, right? You know, Vanguard's at $2 and Fidelity's at 15. So you want to find someone like that where you can actually automatically start to deduct stuff out of your account so you don't even see it on a monthly basis, right? So let me just give you, I'll talk in hypotheticals, but say, Wendy, don't get too excited here. Say you've got $1,000 a month in earnings.
She's going to get excited that you just said $1,000 again.
This is a month, so that's $250 a week, right? But the point works for me. You can set up a situation with a Vanguard or any of these companies actually do this where they deduct a percentage out of your account and it goes automatically into buying their funds, right? So over time, what you're doing is you're saving, right? It's like, think of it, you know, direct deposit?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? It's that same kind of thing, right? It goes, if you get direct deposit, your check comes in every 2 weeks from the company. Then they can take, you know, call it a 10% off the top. And that'll go right to Vanguard. So you're seeing less money in your pocket or in the bank account, but actually you're paying yourself first.
So you just, it's non-money. It's not real.
Does that make sense? You follow me on this, right? So
yes.
The reason one wants to do this, and by the way, this is all caveated with the fact that if you have debt of any sort, credit cards, student loans, that, you know, loan sharks, right? You're going to want to
mafia.
You can't start this type of behavior until you pay that off. So once you have that settled.
So first things first, get out of debt.
Yes. But what I'm talking about, Stephen, this is super conservative.
Yeah.
Right?
I like how you just said Stephen.
So
Here's why I said it. He's telling you because he knows Megan and I are looking at each other. We're just so confused.
No,
I feel like I'm at like a work meeting when I was at Whole Foods.
Megan and I just discussed this. We practiced investing in Vanguard today.
Oh.
Right? So I know the reason I said Stephen is because he said he's a conservative investor.
Yeah.
Right? This is a super conservative.
More appropriate to say I'm just fearful of everything.
Right. Well, that's not a bad way to be. Yeah. The market's a very democratic place.
The world's a very scary place. Be scared.
Yeah, don't do anything.
Don't do anything. You can
like
hurt
me and Wendy
yourself.
Are going to do starting today, stay in your apartment and eat sandwiches.
If you're responding to an email, they're going to steal all your money.
That's a real easy strategy, period.
Okay.
Right. Pay off your debt and then set up something automatic so you don't even feel the pain on a monthly basis.
I mean, yes. I'm just going to agree.
What are you going to say?
It's hard. You know, it's tough because my income is so fucking inconsistent. Like every year, I'm just like, fuck, you know?
Well, he's just freelancing.
Can't
you make a deal with yourself and be like, okay, a 5 or 10% of everything you get goes. When I grew up, we went to Mormon church and 10% of their earnings they gave to the church. It was like 10% of their money.
Wait, so when did you go to Mormon church? Hold on. Full stop.
You don't remember this?
I grew up, when my parents got divorced, I went to Mormon church like half of my youth.
Yeah.
Every other weekend.
That was one of the first episodes. We talked about how Wendy was split religions down the middle.
Yeah. But
no,
I
don't remember that at all.
Megan doesn't listen to you guys. You're aware of that.
Well, right? Usually Stephen doesn't even remember usually, anything I usually, say. So this is an exciting moment.
Megan doesn't even have headphones.
But when you 10%, if it's like 10% of your earnings go to the church. So if you do that as a freelancer, you're like, okay, you know, 10% of everything I get, you put away.
I remember this because we were talking about how God's dead and nothing's real.
The key to this, though, guys, is make it the percentage so that it's not so you're not sweating the monthly.
Right.
Like,
which
I'm gonna
I think 10% is good.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to pay myself, but I won't be able to cover the car payment, or I won't. You know, like, that's not going to work out. So it doesn't have to be 10%. 10% is aggressive. It can be whatever it is, but it's like it's a start. You know.
Okay.
So like, but I think 10, like, let's keep this religion comparison going. So like, how Mormons give 10% of what they make to the church.
Yeah, they're tithing.
Like, do that. Unlike, like, don't be like a Scientologist, my neighbors, and give, say, 99%.
Yeah.
Right.
And a soul. I think there's a soul involved in that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's 99.5%. A soul's probably worth
about
half.
They're taking the soul whether you want them to or not. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, I mean, but is it one soul or is it thousands of tiny alien souls within your one body? You know what I mean? Like, what's worth more? One regular Catholic human soul?
We're
going
to get shot through the window.
I know. You guys, whenever I talk about that, I always specifically say hi to the security guards to see if they treat me differently after I have conversations like this in my life, to see like if they like know.
Yeah.
I did stand up a mile away from the Scientology Center. I was doing a Scientology joke and I was still scared.
Yeah. Seriously.
I was in a basement somewhere talking about them, and I was like, they're still going to get me here.
It's all mic'd. The whole city's mic'd.
Oh, and we're going to go, but speaking of everything's mic'd, and we're getting back to the important stuff and investing and helping people save money and
what shouldn't be mic'd, this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Something that should not be mic'd. Anything we say ever. Yesterday, when I got out of my car, I was making a joke to my Uber driver, who turned out to be like this, like, disgrace
of Dubai.
Yes, this like disgrace, like prince from Dubai, who's super hot and rich. Yeah, oh my God, fucking I wish. He texts me and he's like, oh, let's get a drink sometime. He's so fucking hot. Anyway, I made a joke when I got out of the car yesterday, and he's like, so what are you going to do after you're done working? And I said, oh, I don't know. I'm like, I got my passport, so I could go anywhere. Like, being stupid. I made that joke and he laughed. And then I pulled up my phone to leave the studio yesterday. And when I pulled up my Uber account to like, oh, pick the next destination. Normally it shows, you know, like it'll show like the places I commonly go to. I pulled it up, and when I was like set destination, it gave me a list of airports. I swear to fucking Christ.
Megan, I hate this.
I took a picture.
You know,
I took a screenshot.
That's
definitely happening. I don't even know why you guys are upset about this.
No, but that's terrifying that I make joke.
Is it back to the default list of bodegas that comes up typically for you?
Yes, it is.
It's a bodega and a wine bar that I have marked as work. I swear to God.
It's what you used to deal in, Mexican markets. All of Wendy's destinations are Mexican markets.
I'm like, what am I? What am I, a high financier?
Oh my God, I hate this. It's like giving me a panic attack that happened.
But anyway, so the Scientologists are listening to you.
I just don't even care about that stuff anymore. Like having an Alexa, an Amazon Alexa or something like that, or Siri or whatever, and then everything turns into ads. It's like, well, of course it does. That's where they're making their money. It's all being sold as ad information.
I don't ask Siri questions. I'm not like, hey, Siri.
Did you almost say babe?
I did.
Hey, babe.
I only talk to Preston. I'm like everything's babe. Everything's a babe.
Preston just regurgitates ads at you as you're falling asleep.
It's I wake up and I'm like, we need Frosted Flakes. That's so weird. I haven't had Frosted Flakes in years. I hate it.
Yeah, no, it's super creepy.
Can we invest money being off the grid? Can we do that? Like, can I invest money in buying property in the middle of the desert?
When you say invest, too, anytime you go off the grid, you'd be saving a shitload of money. So arguably, that's investing.
Now, can you be off the grid, but can you simultaneously be off the grid and investing with a company like Vanguard, or would that not work?
I mean, I guess you could show up with a briefcase of cash at their, you know, one of their offices on a weekly basis.
Somebody does that.
Oh, you're looking at somebody who's gonna do that at some point.
I love you just held up your cup of coffee is this? As if that.
Yeah, you really cheers that moment.
Deposit that and watch your cup of coffee.
I turn it upside down. It's just rolled $100 bills. Psych, motherfuckers.
No, it's still coffee. That's that you show up at Vanguard with a cup of coffee and they're like, ma'am, what do you want us to do with this? You're like, I'm investing.
I guess it always boils down to, like, even if you're off grid, you know, how are you earning?
Right.
Right. I mean, and, you know, do you go to work every day on a skateboard? You know,
maybe.
I mean,
maybe.
I'm not judging.
I mean, off the grid, that would be tough because there are going to be rocks. Skateboarding is, you know, you need flat space. It's a more suburban.
No, I like that. That's your example. I like that. That's your example of someone like off the grid. What are you skateboarding to work?
Yeah,
such a dad. We're gonna get back and Paco. Look,
listen to your rock and roll skateboarding to work because you're off the grid.
Yeah, with your Walkmans. Listen,
you can walk. In my day, we walked when we were off the grid.
Yeah.
Now these kids with their skateboards.
God damn it, Paco. It's a good thing I live in New York. I never realized until I was watching through a screen and I can all just see part of your face and your arms and your hairy arms. And you're just like
nice.
Being real bossy and being shitty to me. And I'm like falling in love with you. I'm very horny.
Yeah. She's already called you dad multiple times.
Oh yeah. No, and I'm like, nice dad joke. Whoa, these lavender leggings.
Well, I'm glad that, I mean, investing gets me hot too, Wendy. So I think that's...
talking about money and skateboards.
Yeah.
So money and skate. That's the name of my last ska album. Money and skateboards.
A teenage trilogy. So Paco, what if I wanted to be more aggressive about my investments?
First of all, Paco, he won't be. Well, you can give advice as if he would, but
he's asking for everybody else out there.
No, because right now I'm like, you know what? I could lose $500. Like that could, let's just, what if we just wanted to throw it into the wind?
Yeah. So if you have $500, right?
What if I had $500 and I wanted to turn it into
$5,000? Let me ask you, how do you define aggressive?
I mean, like aggressive.
Calling your money a bitch and then throwing it in the street.
You know, my example right now, just because so many of my friends are into it, is Bitcoin. Yeah, because everyone's jumping at Bitcoin.
That's what I was asking.
I mean, everyone my age that has money to invest is like in. And it's all they're talking
about. Everyone your age, like what age group?
30s. Yeah, like about what age? 30s-ish.
Yeah.
Steven won't ever tell us how old he is.
Look, as a trader, the trader in me is Bitcoin's great to trade.
Right.
If you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get your ass handed to you.
Period. Yeah.
I would recommend if you're thinking of getting into Bitcoin, instead of doing that, just go get an 8-ball. You'll have a lot more fun.
I was going to say, right? Say kill yourself. Yeah. And then he said drugs, which is slow death.
You know,
good for him. Yeah,
my thing is, because I'm such a nerd and I'm so arrogant, my temptation is always to invest in like technology, forward thinking kind of stuff. Because every time something gets big, I'm like, I was thinking about that. Like streaming, I knew it, you know?
I think that's an actually good point. And that's something that's the antithesis of what we were talking about before. It's a tough mindset because we all want to get rich quick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're a society that is get rich quick driven. Right. It's how CNBC as a television network exists.
Yeah, I like Jim Cramer, Mad Money. He just gets
They got fast. Listen, they've got Fast Money, Mad Money, Power Lunch.
Yeah, that's all
ego driven. Like, just, and so it's like that perception is that, oh man, I can get into Facebook and double my money in 6 months.
Yeah,
it's not what I would, you know, recommend anybody to do. If you want to do something like, hey, I want to. You know, buy a stock here and there, then carve out 10% of all the whole pie. And that's what you can play with.
Gotcha. Right?
And say, okay, I'm a stock picker for this $1,000, but my others are going to be the conservative investing stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you were investing like $5,000, you take, you know,
you take $500.
$500.
And you can buy whatever stock to prove yourself.
You couldn't figure out 10% of $5,000.
I can't. I've been
10% of 5,000. What's that about? About
10% of 5,000.
$15 million is 10%. Is that $15 million?
Hold on. Let me get on my patchwork game. I can figure it out in patches and buttons.
Wait, guys, this abacus.
Let me put it to you this way, dude. It's half a Bitcoin.
Half a Bitcoin, Stephen. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so now you know what I'm talking about, right?
Okay.
It's a tenth of a Bitcoin. Like if you
how many buttons?
But what is that in the
I definitely think there's a future for the whole cryptocurrency thing.
Really?
I think if you think you're, oh, absolutely. But I think if you get into it because you think you're going to, you know what you're,
well, what
one,
do you think?
One knows what they're doing. It's very dangerous.
My thing that I'm interested in with cryptocurrency, it's not actually cryptocurrency, but I am really curious about the application of blockchain within other technology. So, like, what I know, I can see your eyes glazing over.
You lost
75% of the people on the podcast.
I
and
yeah.
almost 1,000% of the people that are out there.
But you know what?
And you lost 100%.
We're dealing in niche markets.
And you lost 100% of the people on the show. You lost 100% of your co-hosts.
That was a 75% because he actually. Can you define blockchain in 10 words or less?
No. No, that's, I cannot.
Fuck you, Steven. Right.
That's always going to be a challenge for that.
And that's right. The whole thing. But the hypothetical of it, when I really researched it and understood it, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this actually doesn't make a lot of sense. Because it's something that I've been thinking about just because my whole life has been content creation, right? And the problem with content creation is it's like this podcast. We fucking put it out
it
in
sucks.
The world.
No, but it sucks and nobody cares.
We put it out in the world for free.
It did
and
until
then no
today.
One can track
I think
it.
You guys
can't.
Have a great guest on today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Until today. Yeah, God. Paco's really
saving
Paco, the
you're
podcast.
So lucky I'm not there because you're being real shitty and I fucking want to come on in your face.
This is a lesson in power dynamics.
This is power dynamics right here.
This is a fascinating dating episode.
This is Wendy's wet dream. A man talking about money and being shitty to her. She's just like,
yeah, just being like, I'm not into it. I can't even see.
We're just over here trying.
And the best part is I can't see your face because we're watching on a screen. So instead of, I just see your muscles and your body and your arm hair. And then in your face, I see my face. So this is kind of a perfect situation for me.
Yeah, it's your face on a handsome man.
I know, I'm like, oh my God, I could just finger myself.
Which is all Wendy's ever wanted.
Is that on next week's or is that on this week's podcast?
It depends.
Wendy's like, that's up to you, Bob.
We can make this happen. I don't know. You're the one that knows about blockchain. Why don't you use some of that blockchain to get me a plane ticket, you fucking
idiot?
Point,
like if you can't, like, I would stay away from it. It's unproven is what I would say. You know, unless you know what you're doing, the market,
I would stay away
there's
from
a lot
it.
Of room for manipulation in it. There's a lot of drug dealers
it is
in it.
About
there's
my
a lot
pussy,
of money laundering going in it.
Yeah. He's still talking about your pussy.
There's a
I
lot
know,
of money laundering
blockchain.
That goes on in that world.
Totally.
It's still my pussy.
You know,
it's still your pussy. This is all still your pussy.
So we're either talking about blockchain or
Wendy's
genitals. I think, that's why I would stay away from it, man. It's also volatile.
So play it safe with blockchain and Wendy's genitals. Sound advice.
By the way, that is,
stay away from
Wendy,
it.
You should get that tattooed above your pussy. I would stay away from it, man. It's volatile as shit. Yeah.
That's a big tattoo, though.
That's but it's worth it. That's that better than the chick I knew that had any port in the storm right above her pussy. That's...
So he's like, what is this tattoo? And he's stay away, man. It's volatile as shit. What's that? Oh, I got a degree in economics and European history. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
This is about the stock market, not my pussy. I know it's in a confusing spot being right above my pussy, but it has nothing to do with that.
I fuck a lot of guys who work in finance and they're always talking about blockchain. And I'm like, not today,
right here,
brother.
It's right here. So wait, okay, Paco, what do you think? Because as we're all millionaires, a lot of our listeners, you don't know this, are very well off teenage girls.
Yes.
Very wealthy teenage girls, mainly in Australia for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Australia.
What is the minimum you would to start investing? Say you have zero debt. What's the minimum amount of money to start putting into like a Vanguard account?
You can open a Vanguard account with $0 in the same way that you can open a bank account with like 10 or whatever. You know, you can just open it up. And I think you need to, you know, if you have 10 extra dollars, it's not about the amount so much as it is the discipline and or the desire to start to save. The discipline is hard in money. We all like to go out and spend it on foolish things like dinners out or vacations or, you know, multiple Ubers to move all our shit around town.
Oh, Wendy's, because it's not my money.
Ubers are free.
I was also, no, but I was actually saying to Megan earlier, I think that's a wonderful way to move around town because I've done it 4 times in Manhattan and I had to pay moving guys and it was, you know, a lot of money. So yeah. I think, Wendy, you're onto something there.
Thank you. Thanks, Dad. So
The moment that...
Oh, gross. Oh, Jesus.
I think I felt that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
So I think, you know, you can start with a dollar.
See, because that's what I think. Like, I really do want to start investing money because I'm like, I have a little bit of savings and I think it's stupid that it's just sitting in a bank account and like not doing anything when I could be investing it. But when people think of investing, they think of, you know, you need to have a lot of money in order to start doing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, you need to already be rich in order to
invest
money and make more money. So thinking that like you could just start with
anyone can do it, small amounts of money.
Yeah, and then, like, build.
I mean, we talked about Acorn. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but it's an app and it takes $10 literally and you can start to invest with small chunks.
Robinhood too. Robinhood's a similar thing, right?
Yeah. All those platforms. The reason I say Vanguard over those guys is because Acorn's just another layer on top of them. Right. So Acorn's the platform and it'll cost you more money to have to go through Acorn. I would just go straight to the fund companies.
Okay.
Right. And I think you can do it, you know, again, so Vanguard and Vanguard's an example that I use, but this is pretty standard across industry. If you want to buy their funds, they have minimums, right? So it's like $1,000 or $3,000, depending on the fund. However, you can open, like I said, you can open an account there with $0. And if you want, you can start to buy what are called ETFs, which are exchange traded funds, meaning they act like a mutual fund, but they operate more like a stock. So you can buy an S&P 500 ETF with that $10 that you've used to open the account instead of, you know, the $1,000 minimum of the mutual funds. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry. Guys, are you okay? Because there's a lot of sirens happening outside.
Yeah, I forgot to close the window.
That's the acronym police. There were too many acronyms, and I did not know what the fuck was happening.
Wait, I just said ETF. Did I say any other acronyms?
No, but that's enough for Wendy. That's one too many.
No, there was one more. I came so hard that the building flooded. Someone called the cops.
Jesus Christ.
It's a joke.
Jesus.
It's only up to our ankles.
Right. We can still walk around. It's not that bad. So here's a question. This is...
Sure.
Because when I worked at Whole Foods, when I had jobs that had 401ks, and my parents are... Whenever I've looked at investing and I've heard of Vanguard, that was always confusing to me as far as like the funds. And I'm like, I don't know, just put it somewhere. Can you tell someone to just like put it somewhere and don't they put together like
that's
a package
what we
of different
about.
Stocks? Yeah. How does that work? If I'm like, I'm dumb. Hypothetically speaking, I'm dumb.
Oh, we know.
Hypothetically speaking, I'm dumb and I have no money, but here's $50. And if I give you to put
there's,
25 in a month, do something.
There's two
with
ways.
It.
There's two ways to answer that. Question for a person. It depends on how you're wired, right? One is you can go into, you know, a Vanguard office or call these guys on the phone and have a conversation about it specifically, about what they would recommend. The other is to read a book on it. And one of those books is written by John Bogle, who was the guy who founded Vanguard.
Okay.
And it's called, I think it's called the Common Sense Guide to Investing. But basically, it kind of outlines the stuff that we've talked about. The Little Book of Common Sense Investing is what it's called. And you know,
sounds
he's the guy
speed.
That. Yeah, I mean, it's easy, and it will help explain that. There's a theory around portfolio management theory that we're not going to get into. But it's how you spread around risk.
You're not going to get into that. That's like what I've been waiting for. You guys.
You want me to?
I mean, no. You can,
no, but like,
no. So
it's cool.
But you know, like in the mutual fund world, it's like going to the supermarket, right? There's all kinds of different things you can buy. So you want to spread your risk around everything, right? You don't want to put all your money into one fund.
So you want to buy some blackberries.
You want to start out buying four or five funds so that you're mitigating risk or spreading out the exposure.
Okay.
Right. So like an S&P 500 fund, what does that do? It owns all of the 500 names in that index, meaning the dollars you put in there are going to track very closely to how the market performs. You could buy a growth, you could buy a growth fund, which is a stock that has potential to grow significantly, like an Amazon or a Netflix. Those are growth stocks.
Okay.
You can buy a value fund, which is the opposite of that, right? This is the Warren Buffett type of investing where you look at assets based on where you think the potential, you know, that there's value that has yet to be uncovered in the company. Then you can buy things like international stocks. You can have a bond fund. And those five areas should have you covered.
Bond? Yeah, I was going to say the bond fund. So it'd be like, you
it's
know,
real
so the options,
sexy.
You get right,
so you can do a bond
fund.
And so the options there would be like a Sean Connery, Daniel Craig.
what is the difference between a stock and a bond? Because I feel like that's about where we're at, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's, think about how you, if you go into a bank, are you putting money into the bank or are you asking them for money? Right. So if you get a loan,
ideally,
that's what a bond
money.
Is.
Right.
Right. So those loans, instead of buying a stock, you buy a bond and it pays interest out. So you might get a 4% return, you know, if you're lucky. You can get, you know, if you buy US Treasuries, you're not getting anything near that.
Right.
If you buy companies that are a little more risky, like a lot of the oil and energy guys, you're getting, you know, well north of that. So you can get 10% a year, but you earn it in sweating, you know, sleeping at night.
Wait, what? What happens?
When you just got ready, he was like, wait, I get to sleep?
Yeah.
No, if you're buying, if you're buying,
I heard sleeping and sweating at night.
Yeah. I heard oil guys, which made me think of lube. And then I heard sweating, right. which made me think of lube.
So right. bonds are variable.
And then I heard
interest.
Sleeping, which made me think of lube.
Bonds are variable interest, but less risky than a stock.
It depends on the company.
Okay.
Or it depends on the underlying asset of it. So the United States government backs all of their bonds, right? That's why they're, you know, the safest investment in the world. For now, the United States does not appear to be going out of business.
Well, that right. is, I mean,
tell that to my Bitcoin.
He did say for now. Right. He did say for now.
But you know, things could change quickly.
Yeah. That's why I'm shorting the United States government. I saw that movie.
That's why you're what?
Nothing. Never mind.
What?
What explain yourself.
Was that?
Jesus, Stephen, have some confidence. Explain yourself.
Actually, it's a good point. The Big Short explains what I'm talking about very well.
Yeah, they used a hot chick.
All that stuff.
Oh, the Big Short?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they used a super hot chick drinking champagne. Margot Robbie, shout out. I would fuck her in a
I think everyone would. That's a pretty common.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never saw
what
that.
What an annoyingly attractive person.
Find me the one person who wouldn't fuck Margot Robbie.
All right. That's a challenge for next week.
I was going to say, is that a challenge for
next week? Find someone that
next
won't
week,
fuck Margot
next
Robbie.
Next week, our guest will be the person who doesn't want to fuck Margot Robbie.
Perfect. That's out of the way. We can keep talking about money and I can keep pretending like I understand what's happening. Yes. My brain is just
I love that you wore your understanding glasses.
Yeah. These are
so
my
look like a person who's listening.
Yeah. No, I think for at least two glances, I think Wendy was really interested in what we were talking about today.
I'm interested in it, but I mostly am interested in the after effects, which is like, cool. So
making money?
No, getting money just from somebody money. Who has the money.
Right. Wendy is the epitome of trickle-down economics.
Yeah, exactly. You give it to me, and then I give it to some fucking, you know.
If they make billions of dollars, Wendy makes thousands of dollars in Ubers.
Yeah. I mean,
it's the American dream.
It's interesting, but that's the thing is, like, I would not buy this book, if I'm being honest, because I've tried to understand it. Sometimes my brain just, I'm not that dumb of a person, but my brain does not understand this kind of shit.
This is why, I don't think you need to read a book for this.
No, I want to,
you know.
This is why people are scared. Me and Paco were talking about this before we started recording. This is why people are scared of investing.
Right.
Because it's like, it's just like, as soon as people start saying words, investee terms, it's just like a gloss over because people are like, it's like learning math. Like when you're a kid, like in high school and you're taking algebra, if you don't get it and you go, I'm not going to get it, you just gloss over and you're like, I'm never going to understand math.
Yeah. And Wendy, what I'm talking about is basically, the same thing as opening a savings account.
Yeah, it's like one step above.
Which Wendy's also like, I don't know what that means.
I don't understand. Are we talking about my pussy again?
I'm Savines?
Right.
I haven't stopped talking about your pussy the whole time. Yeah.
Sauvignon Blanc. I do understand that. Yes. Yep. I get you. I'm with you.
So it's like opening a bottle of wine is what you're saying. So like opening a Vanguard account is similar to opening a bottle of wine. Now I understand.
I'm on board.
Now I understand.
No, and I watch like the guy, I mean, the guy, the Uber guy, like he'll look at his phone and he works in finance. I mean, I shouldn't say obviously, but I mean.
What does that mean? Why is he driving Uber for fun?
No.
He's the one that pays for my Uber.
This is my sugar daddy.
That's my sugar daddy.
Pays for her Ubers.
And your Uber goes straight to him?
Yeah. That's why she's moving
the Uber.
That's
why I have my understanding glasses on and I should know about this, but I'm around people talking about money all the time and I'm always like, whatever, just give me some.
Right.
Dad, this...
Yes, but here's the thing. When you get that pile of money...
Yeah.
All we're really saying is take 10% of that and put it somewhere that you can't fuck with it.
Right.
That's the whole, that's like one of the nice things about mutual funds is versus a savings bank is it's a little bit more difficult to liquidate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So you get like almost like a 48-hour cooling off period when you want to buy the Maserati or whatever. You know what I mean? Like the point being,
we got Maserati money. Yeah. No.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like before you pull the trigger on a vacation, before you do this and that and the other thing, if you need to raise money, you want to not look at this stuff ever again.
Yeah.
What we're advocating here is take it and don't look at it and wake up in 40 years.
Yeah.
And you'll discover the miracle of compound interest.
Right.
Which that's the thing. That's what people don't want to do. People don't want to.
Well, but I also think it's a very important thing for artists in particular, because if you think about the way that you might earn, it probably won't be like a rational, like X amount of dollars per year salary. It will likely be more like you sold the script, you got a TV show, you got a sugar daddy lawsuit or something insane that all of a sudden you just have some kind of something.
What?
She's going to win that
type
one.
Of settlement or.
I'm not worried about Wendy in that lawsuit. I think she's going to win that.
Yeah, Wendy, by the way, is there something you haven't told me? Is there like a pending sugar daddy lawsuit you're going through?
Yeah.
But for whatever it is, you are probably more likely to wind up with like a pile of money that you're like, I need to live off this for a while.
Oh, I was going to say, I need to live on this. Literally, this is going to be my bed.
Yeah, she doesn't have a bed right now. She
my
just
bed
had
collapsed. I just moved into places first, thank God. I liquidated, and this is very irresponsible, so don't do this. But I had, when I worked at Whole Foods before I moved, when I moved to New York, I had a 401k and I rolled it over into a Fidelity account. Mm-hmm. And when I went through all the shit where I had roommates leave and I had to come up with money. And when I moved here, I just had a few really big hits where I was like, I don't have money. And I had like $4,500 in there. And I like over three different transactions. I mean, I thought about it for a week and I was like, if I don't pull this out, I can't. And I was working 40 hours a week, but I just was so expensive here and I had roommates leave and I had to cover just huge amounts of rent and travel expenses to get to a gig. So I liquidated that account and I paid heavy fines for it.
Yeah. It's like 60%.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm. Yeah. No, I had four and I was like, I'm not going to touch it. And then I was like, okay, it's that or I don't pay rent.
Right. I mean, so, you know, maybe.
So that's the example of what not to do.
There are different examples of, you know, and reasons to do that. Like it can be done. The point, what I'm trying to say is more about, you know, you can't even do this. Like you can't meaning if you have that 10K for 4,500 or whatever it is put away, it's just not allowed to be touched.
Right.
It's not money. It's like how I look at my savings account.
And the reason that the automatic stuff is good is because you don't feel the pain after a while, right? So if you go from a paycheck of $500 a week to $400 a week or $450, you know, and you lose that $50, you might have to like cut out a couple lattes that week, but it's not that crazy. It's not that crazy of a thing. And you won't feel it after the first 30 days.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and if you just think about your paycheck being that amount, then
that's what I'm getting at. It's like, you're not missing that. And that's why this, whether it's Vanguard or anybody else, taking that stuff out automatically, paying yourself first, you know, and, is the conservative, easy way to do it. Vanguard can literally set you up. And I'm not getting paid by these guys. I just like them.
I know. I was going to say, hold on. Is that a big VIC tattooed on your chest?
Yeah.
Paco, you've done it again. And now I triply want to fuck you because you're working for the man.
Thank
you're using our podcast to push your agenda.
And also you have weird x-ray vision and see his chest.
Yeah. I'm going to take 100. If I take 100% of the commission that Vanguard makes off of this podcast,
you'll still make negative money, by being here.
Right. I will owe Vanguard money.
Yeah, yeah.
This is more like doing charity work for Vanguard.
I have a question. So now, as far as like when you're opening an account,
yes.
What's the best kind, like when you go to open an account? Because I remember not understanding this, and I remember people told me like get a Roth IRA because you can't touch it till you're 70 or something. Like, if somebody were to go to Vanguard and open an account, what type of account would you want to do?
It's some of that's going to depend on how you earn your living, right? So
it's under the table, illegally,
prostitution.
Then I'm going to suggest we start talking blockchain because that's a great place to be. IRAs and 401ks are retirement accounts, right? They have tax benefits for the money that you put in there. You're not taxed on any capital gains in it until you retire, right? So that's an interesting, that's a great thing to have in the,
But you can't touch it. You can't ever get at it,
yes, so you can't, right? And you also can max out, right? So whatever you can max out, max the shit out of that. You should.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about overall, you want, max out your 401k or IRA if you have that set up. And then also have your own, quote unquote savings account or, brokerage account or whatever mechanism you have for also buying the mutual funds.
Okay.
Right. So that's another savings account. Cause I think at some point, Wendy, like you're on the road where you're going to start getting paid stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment in which it actually does, begin to make a difference taking some of that stuff out. So, I don't know whether a comedian should open an IRA, a 401k, or a basic mutual fund account, but I would suggest you just open one of them.
Yeah.
You
know just I mean? Fucking do something. Right. God damn it. Yeah. I don't care what it is. Just stop sitting on your ass. That's what I'm saying.
It gets back
something.
To the diet thing. It's like, I don't care if it's South Beach, like the point being is like,
oh God, now you're calling me fat. Oh my God. Paco, I'm going to propose to you by the end of this podcast.
And now you're tearing down my self-esteem.
I'm just merely making an analogy, but if you would like me to, that's going to cost you more money.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, it's a weird, cause as far as like picking an account. Okay. So Vanguard, they just do a basic savings account where you can get at it, but it is invested in mutual funds. I mean, when I get a chunk of money, I'm going to a professional person and I'm going to be like, help me. Cause I have no idea. It was nice. The best thing, if you have a job where they can, Megan, does your job do where they, match?
Yeah. That's not happening for waitress jobs.
I don't know. Some restaurants are like corporate enough that they do that.
You never know.
No, there are some, my place isn't like that. There are some places that do that.
Some places will do that. But if one of the best things was at Whole Foods, when they match it, like some companies are really good and anytime they would match it, is that a good idea, Paco?
To invest in that? Of course.
Yeah, I know something.
Yeah. If you can, of course. And ask them to max it out too. Meaning if you're in your cubicle job, and HR comes along and says, hey, we got a 401k we're starting out. They will have a corporate policy saying how much up to, a certain amount they'll match. Right. So that's a really easy decision. What's the highest you can do? 7%. Great. I want 7%.
Right? Cool.
So it depends on that. A lot of companies don't. Right. In fact, most companies, these days probably aren't matching, or at least not matching to what you want them to be.
Yeah, but why would they match? Because their assholes are coming to work on skateboards.
Yeah,
showing up late.
They're all hiring freelancers.
They're doing kickflips in the break room.
Just
I'm not
listening to your rock and roll.
Yeah, if
I'm not going to match back to your off the grid house.
If you live off the grid, can you go to work?
I would love if someone's living off the grid but works in a very corporate environment.
That's what I'm talking about.
Or if they have a kick
energy company, right? You have to be entirely off the grid. So you churning your own butter and that kind of stuff. Like I think
saying. I like the concept of someone churning their own butter and then putting on a suit and tie to skateboard into
Manhattan.
But also
having an internet-based office job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they can't scan and they have to have a badge and they're like, you use a fifth. He's like, I burned off all my fingerprints after I killed the tax man.
Actually, that's a great, that's actually a really good call.
But I still have to come to work every day.
That is, if that doesn't exist, it will. It will.
Yeah. He's just blind because he like took out his retinas. He's like, try to scan me now, Facebook.
Yeah. Can't use the iPhone 10 because I don't have a face.
Ha fuck you. But I just can't get, I got 3 more years before I hit my bonus at this company.
I got to stick around. Jesus Christ.
Marco, can I ask, I have one thing I'm just curious about. Because when you, what made you shift out of finance? What was the turning point in your life that you were like, yeah, this isn't where it's at?
This may get a little technical, but I was dealing in just emerging markets. Right. So Mexico, Brazil, Russia, you know, markets that weren't as developed as the US. And I had lived through a couple different, call them market corrections that are devaluations in currencies. And I was bored at the end of all of that. What happens in a devaluation is there's a lot of volatility in the market for about a week, and then nobody wants to touch it for the next 2 years. Right. Mm-hmm. So you, as a trader, you can't really make a ton of money.
So you're not making any money, basically. Yeah.
So that happened to me twice in my 8-year career on Wall Street. So I left that and moved to San Francisco and took a job at a tech startup.
Wait, so you left finance because you were bored and not making any money? Well, that sounds like our cue to end this podcast.
And no one invests. Right. Sit up, put your money in a mattress.
I'm like, oh, God.
Get off the grid. Buy a skateboard.
I was making money, but not the kind you can really make.
Right.
Right.
Well, and I think that's the thing with those jobs. It's like, if you're going to be in it for the money, you better be making a shitload of money.
Yeah. I think so. And you can. That's why it's like failing upwards. That's an industry full of it. You know, you don't necessarily have to be all that smart. You can be pretty dumb, but lucky, you know?
Oh, then I will get into that. Yeah. That sounds like my kind of, sorry, my Uber daddy, he's just texting me because I let him go, hey, I'm moving today. So I'm taking a lot of cars because I said in that he goes, oh, good. I thought you were back working as a cat sitter. Because when I met him and I was cat sitting and he gave me Ubers, I was taking like 10 rides a day. And I've taken probably like 7 rides today. Just moving, hauling shit around, trying to move. So sorry, I just had to confirm. I had to send kissy face.
She just referred to him as her Uber daddy.
Yeah.
Also, I want to make sure everyone heard that.
Also, yeah. You took Ubers to cat sit.
Yeah.
I signed it. Her sugar daddy was
that's
paying
not a long-term earning strategy. Is it?
It is.
How much money did you lose on that deal?
Well, the cat sitting thing. So I needed money and I was on this fucking website, the sugar daddy website. Hadn't met anybody. And then I was like, well, I need extra money. So I was temping at Calvin Klein. And then that was a break there. And so then I became a cat sitter because I had to make money. So I did that all last Christmas and my birthday, where I was gone from like 6:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, sometimes just going to different houses, taking care of cats. But I met him a week into cat sitting. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I had like a half hour to see him. And I'm like, well, I got a cat sit. And he was like, here, just take Ubers. So my life is not, it's an unreal life. I was taking
it's
Ubers.
Not real.
I was
She's taking, not a real human person.
No, I was taking Ubers to cat sit to go make $15 an hour to cat
sit. That's what I'm getting at. I think that's where I was going.
Yeah, no, it sounds like now, but I was not paying for the Ubers. If I was paying for the Ubers, that would be a bad investment.
Right. So if you can get subsidies for your Ubers,
right. Uber
I'd
subsidies.
Say cats it away.
These are investee terms.
That sounds very professional. If you have a subsidized Uber account.
So what are we going to do? Invest
what
all
are we
going to
do?
Our,
I mean, we have,
here's what,
I
would think, here's
we
what have, you want to do. Here, if you want to actually, why don't we, let's revisit this in a quarter.
Oh, right? Oh, shit.
Wow.
And let's just say we take $10,000 fake.
Okay.
And we've invested it in 4 different Vanguard funds today. And I'll get the closing prices and I'll give them to Megan and we can track them just to see what we would have made or lost.
And then we'll be really sad that we didn't actually do it.
Wait, but what's
I up? Actually am going to invest money.
Are
I have
you?
A little bit of money saved. That's why Paco came over early and we looked at Vanguard accounts. Oh. I'm going to open a
and we can
fund.
Track that on a percentage basis without getting
and that'll be realistic because I'm not investing a bunch of money.
Yeah. Right.
I'm investing a pretty, you know, small amount of money in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
I think would be doable for a lot of people minus our 17-year-old Australian fans.
Right. who can do way
koalas.
More.
Who can't invest koalas.
Who secretly
in
are investing
in
way more.
What are you talking about?
They
have a very structured market there.
Yeah. Yeah, based on koalas and kangaroos. Yeah. I know how Australia's economy works. And a lot of scary spiders. Maybe a lot of scary spiders.
We should probably do some travel episodes.
I know. Maybe the dingo ate your Bitcoin.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I love Seinfeld.
I hate everything about that.
Oh, I love Seinfeld.
Oh, no, me too. But I hate what you just said.
Oh, I know. That's why I did it. I wasn't going to do it. And I'm like...
And you're like, I bet this will really bum Megan out. she's had a real A number one week. I'm going to say this thing that'll really.
Okay, so we're going to. Okay, so Megan, you've got money invested and you're going to do it. You're going
to
do fake.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to.
Okay.
And then we should do the fake money thing because I'm not investing that much money. I think it's fun to do a fake. And remember, do you remember doing this in high school? I remember doing this in high school where you like had fake. Yeah, like you, everybody
actually,
got like $1,000 or something, and then you invested it in the stock market and had to track
it. We like each brought in $20 or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. We can do that here too. We can also, you know, we'll take the close of Bitcoin. That's where Steve's money is.
Oh, yeah, right? Definitely.
At the end of the day. And
Steven's all cryptocurrency. Yeah, he's straight.
I just want to gamble in violent markets.
Stevie crypto.
That's the way to do it. And Wendy, you're going to be, we'll just take a look at, what are we investing in? I think.
Her own pussy. That's where Wendy's
pussy,
investing.
Yeah,
pussy futures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pussy futures. I think, you know, that's and we can take a look at it at the beginning of the summer.
I want to invest. I did this when I was in elementary school. We did this, and I remember we invested in things like Coca-Cola.
And you still can. I mean, that's still something that, you know, that's one of the things we haven't talked too much about, but Stevie asked about it a little bit earlier, which is what to do if you like a specific stock.
I want to invest in Equinox.
Are they public?
Can I? Are they public? I don't know. I just go there a lot.
I don't know.
I just bought a $500 backpack from them.
By the way, loads of places
Wendy,
I know.
That's actually a really good investing strategy, and I'm not kidding. If you see a company like Equinox and they're doing something right that you say, these guys get it, that's as valid as an analyst with an MBA from Wharton.
I mean, isn't that Warren Buffett's
whole thing?
Isn't that Warren Buffett's whole thing? Every time
I'm going to invest in Equinox and Uber and you, oh God, I'm going to be rich. I fucking wish. You know what? I'm going to look that up and see if I can do that.
You can definitely invest in, I mean, there's probably a parent company to Equinox, but you can definitely invest in Uber.
Well, I mean, we can look it up real quick, but I think.
Yeah. Oh my God. Would that be so fucking.
Just invest in
would
Equinox
that be funny Uber. If I get a little bit of money and I just invest in the two things that I mooch off
things,
of people?
That you are always
but
doing.
Then if you think about it, you're actually reinvesting your sugar daddy's money back into, because every time they send you in an Uber.
But it makes sense, because then you go like, okay, but that's the same thing as far as creating content, because you go like, okay, but what do I like?
Right.
What am I into? And if you stick true to your own voice, you just artistically speaking, you always find people that you'll find. There's a hole in that market.
I'm also going to caveat that, right? So say that, Wendy, you love Equinox and you think they do a good business.
Yeah.
Right? Before
caveat
you put money
it, baby.
In it, you're going to say, you want to ask yourself, you know, is Equinox opening up too many places in Manhattan? Do you know what I mean? Like, you want to ask some questions about, you know, broader than just your gut on how good it is. You can take a look at it. There's all the answers.
Right.
You know, it's all the answers are on the internet. That's the nice thing about it now. Like 20 years ago, you couldn't ask those questions, right?
Yeah.
But
sorry.
You know,
Wendy is just so turned on right now. It's making me uncomfortable.
It's making me uncomfortable. I'm glad that I can't see Paco's face.
Getting financial advice.
Yeah. So anyway, I love the idea. If you like a company, take a look at it for sure.
Yeah.
He negged me the whole way. And right at the end, he goes, actually, Wendy, that's a really good idea. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, God.
And end of podcast. Goodbye.
I'm ovulating.
That's my closer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You kickstarted an early ovulation, Paco.
I've been known to have that effect on me.
Love all your money.